Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about the Basic Gospel, how it intersects with your daily life, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. Our toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you need to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have been talking about freedom this month simply because it is the month for freedom as we celebrate our independence as a country. But as far as freedom for believers, it is a very significant reality. I mean, Christ went to a cross. He ransomed us. He paid a price to purchase us out of the slave market. And we think, wow, what does that mean? Well, we weren't slaves. That's exactly what some of the religious leaders said. But he said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that's what we once were. I mean, we were in bondage to sin and death. Sin mastered us. And the things that we wanted to do, we didn't do. And we wondered why that was. But Jesus then rescued us, set us free, so that we could truly experience freedom and flourish as human beings. You know, under sin and death, you can't flourish as a human being. You're moving in the opposite direction. Yeah. And there's been many words used to describe what humanity is like under the bondage and domination of sin and death, and none of them are very flattering. So Jesus rescued us from that dominion and put us into a new kingdom where we can experience freedom. So the freedom is really from sin and death. But we still have flesh hanging on us. We still have the ability to give in to sin. We still have the ability to submit ourselves to the temptations that come our way. And we ask the question this week, what does God do when we give in to temptation? What does God do when we give in to those desires of the flesh? And we all do. I mean, let's not pretend. We all give in to those things at various times. We may be down and out on our luck, so to speak. Life may be just pressing down on us, and we're just, you know, feeling yucky. And we think, well, I deserve a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of excitement in life, and a temptation comes along, and we give in to it. We do so out of self-pity. And then we start feeling guilty, and we're wondering, what in the world is God going to do to me as a result of that? So what does God do when we sin? Does he punish us? And I think that's the thing that we're so fearful of, the fact that he may punish us. But here's the truth. All punishment for your sins, for my sins, went upon Jesus Christ. And if we will grab hold of that truth, this door to a life of real freedom will swing wide open. If we don't grab hold of that truth, we're going to struggle, and we're going to feel ourselves trapped the rest of our lives. So let this truth grab hold of your heart. The punishment for your sins went upon Jesus. As a result of that, you are free from the punishment of sin, and you're also free from the power of sin, right, as a believer. And when you know that, you can experience freedom.
Yeah. Enter the conversation, everybody. We'd love to hear from you right now. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open, wide open, as a matter of fact, and we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. We await your calls. In the meantime, Bob and Richard, a question from David, who writes to us from High River, Alberta. Says, to be a backslider, you need to be a born-again Christian who is willfully sinning. According to Scripture, you cannot enter the kingdom of God if you are a backslider. Also, according to Scripture, you're putting Christ to open shame and are crucifying him in you if you continue in your sin after being converted. Please explain to me how you can perpetuate the once-saved, always-saved doctrine if the above is true. That's from David in High River, Alberta.
Well, that's the operative word there, if the above is true. you know, the word backslider, I think, is only used once in the Word of God, and that's in an Old Testament passage. You don't see it used in the New Testament at all. And the reason is because God calls us His children. God calls us saints. That's who we are. And He's made us that through the work of Jesus Christ, through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So something happens to us. Certainly we give in to the desires of the flesh. Certainly we give in to the temptations of this world, and we sin. And God knows that, and we know that. That's why He sent Jesus to take away those sins, so that we could walk in forgiveness and we could experience a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
But if there was still punishment for sin, none of us would make it. We would all be eternally condemned. But because Jesus took it, we can rest assured that we have life everlasting.
Yeah.
And that's the good news. So once we're saved completely. That's what Jesus accomplished for us. His death, burial, and resurrection wasn't a temporary reprieve. It was total salvation, complete. Nothing more to add, nothing to take away.
Right.
So if you're saved, guaranteed by the work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, David, hope that's been a help to you. And for any of you who can't get to the phone during the course of the live broadcast, drop us an email. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to New Jersey, talk to Walter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Walter.
Hi, good afternoon, Pastor. I've been hearing your conversation on God's grace when it comes to born-again Christians who may partake in sin. And, of course, I understand also that as a believer, I don't want to sin anymore, but I know that through the blood of the Lamb, I am forgiven. But what I'm referring to is the consequences in the body of sin. Say that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're completely under the blood of Jesus. You want to serve the Lord every day. But let's say that you develop a hatred toward someone, and for some reason you can't explain it. Maybe they abused you as a child, and you've asked forgiveness, but you still, you know, cuddle that hatred until it develops into an ulcer. Well, there's a physical manifestation, and that's just one example. Or another believer who may partake in a one-time, say, sexual interlude with someone who is not their spouse. Well, turns out that person has AIDS, and now the believer catches AIDS. Well, yet there's another example of someone who, yes, they're forgiven of that sin. However, in the physical realm, they're going to pay both examples for the rest of their lives. One,
Those are consequences, you know? Walter, and I certainly agree with that, but a consequence is different than punishment. If I choose to jump off a 10-story roof, there's going to be a consequence to that, probably broken legs or maybe worse. The broken legs aren't the punishment. That's just the consequence of the sin. And I think that's important for us to know, Walter, is that our choices, they're not just neutral choices. They do have effects to them. So if I say something rude to you, or do something to hurt your feelings, you feel the impact of that. You feel the weight of my action. That's a consequence. And, you know, when we read the Bible, and as you were talking, Walter, I couldn't help but think of Romans 13, where Paul says this: let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. And then he goes on to say that love does no harm to its neighbor. Sin does harm. That's just the nature of sin. It does harm to other people. That's the consequence. And that's why sin really misses the mark of God's love. It's certainly a transgression of the law, a violation of the commandments, and that sort of thing. But more than anything, it misses the mark of love. When we choose to sin, when we give in to the temptations of the world, the desires of the flesh, those actions will cause harm. That's just the way it is. There's been many a family that has split apart because one of the spouses chose to join themselves with another in an adulterous affair, and kids suffer from that for many, many, many years. That's just the nature of sin. That's why we shouldn't play with it. That's why, as it says, let us behave decently. And instead of thinking about how to gratify the desires of the flesh, let's clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus. That is the encouragement of Scripture. We can toy around with gratifying the desires of the flesh, but we're going to leave a trail of pain and sorrow behind us. And that's not what love is all about at all. Well, Walter, hope that helps. Sure appreciate your call today.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. Lines available right now. Friends, today we're at the end of our offer for the new series and study guide, Gateway to Grace, yours in July, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request this exciting, informative, full conference Bible study resource, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Today's the final day for this offer. For a gift of any amount or Gateway to Grace. Again, 1-800-727-2828 to speak with Billy, our operator.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Bohemia, New York, and talk to Nick listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good. Thank you for the program. It's really great to listen to. It's been a blessing. My question is, can you explain a little bit about Ephesians 5 where Paul's talking about, you know, he's talking to believers and he's warning them not to fall into temptation and sin, you know, as they once were, you know, now they've been transformed from death to life. And he warns about, adulterers and liars and thieves will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Can you explain that verse? I think it's like 5:11, around 5:11.
Well, sure. Here's the whole point that Paul is making. He says this, you were once darkness, that's what you were, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So it doesn't make sense to go back to the deeds of darkness now that you're a child of the light, right?
Right.
Okay, so in that context, he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Don't even mention those things. Why? Because that's not where you belong anymore. That's not who you are anymore. You're over here in this new kingdom. You're in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So live accordingly. That's all this passage is saying. Of course.
He's saying is you're no longer these things. I mean, even if you fall into them, because we all fall, you're still not that because you've been transformed.
That's correct.
How he's saying it?
That's correct. Once you've been transformed, once you've gone from death to life, once you've gone from darkness to light, you can't go back. You can do some of the deeds that you once did. We still have those memories. We still have those desires resident in this flesh of ours. But that's not who we are. We've been born again spiritually. God's Spirit has come to live inside of us, and a seal has been placed there. And so within our spiritual selves, there has been complete salvation. But in these minds, in these emotions, in these wills of ours, those are in progress. And as we abide in the truth of Jesus Christ, as we abide in his life, we start seeing a renewing of the mind. Our thinking starts to change. And as a result of our thinking changing, our feelings start to change, and the decisions we make start to change. And then we start seeing this life lived out in these bodies of ours. And the whole motivation of that, the thing that moves us forward, that propels us forward, is the truth of who we are in Christ. You will see constantly Paul continually bringing us back to this truth. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Let that truth transform you, shape you, renew you, so that you can truly live out what you have become in Christ.
Right. Okay. It was a little confusing sometimes when I read that, because the way Paul words it, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but he says, you know, don't be fooled by talk that it's okay. By no means will adulteresses and liars and thieves enter the kingdom of heaven. It's almost like he's saying, like, don't let somebody talk into thinking it's okay to do these things, because it's not. You know the part I'm talking about?
Yeah, and he mentions that a couple of times. And again, the thinking, Nick, is this. Is that what you used to do? And you came to a point in your life where you recognized that was just killing you. That wasn't right. Doing anything good or positive for you. And so you cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard you, and the Lord rescued you, and the Lord saved you and raised you up so that you could live a brand new life. And now the world keeps trying to draw you back. And so he's saying, here's a way to fight those temptations. Don't you realize that those who are still over there are lost, and they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God unless something changes? Why do you want to go back to a place where you were that was so miserable? Let right. that go. As Peter said, you've lived enough time over there. Say no to that. And from this point forward, let your life be lived according to the will of God.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Hey, thanks, Nick. Great question today. Sure appreciate it. Let's go back to New York and talk to Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I see many times in Scripture where believers are actually punished by God even after they're saved. For committing certain sins. For example, we know that that David, for example, had the same gospel as we have. And if you see in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you know, that situation with Nathan the prophet, when he called David on the carpet, basically, when David says, "I have sinned against the Lord," he confessed it. And Nathan says, "And the Lord has taken away your sin." But notice all the judgments that God brings upon him. These were not just natural consequences of sin. They were direct punishments from God.
Well, Frank, here's the deal, Frank. It says in Ephesians, or I guess in Romans, that you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So from God's vantage point, death is the punishment for sin. And yes. Jesus took that punishment. So if Jesus took the punishment, there can't be more punishment. That's called double jeopardy.
Well, let me ask you this then. Then why did God visit these punishments upon David? He took the child from David. That wasn't a natural outgrowth just from an adulterous relationship. He caused David's wives to sleep with other men right under the sun. He rose up enemies from David's own household to attack him. And also, if you look in the situation in 1 Corinthians 3:15, where it says that a man will suffer loss for his, you know, useless works.
Yeah, but those aren't sins, Frank.
Excuse me?
Those aren't sins that he's talking about. It's talking about in 1 Corinthians his works. But here's the whole point,
what
Frank.
What I wanted to say with that was that the word is from the Greek zimio, and that word means punishment. You can also find that word in the Septuagint in Exodus 12, 21, 22, Proverbs 17, 26, Proverbs 19, 19, and many other places. The word actually is transmitted as punishments. So to say that we are not punished when we sin, even when we're believers, by God, is not correct.
Well, Frank, I think it is correct and true, because Jesus took the punishment. Either Jesus took it or he didn't take it. I just think that's how we see it. It is a black and white binary reality. If he didn't take it, then all of us are doomed.
He took our punishment for eternal death, but not for temporal punishments. Those punishments, sure, they're a natural. If I jump off a building, of course, I'm either going to get broken up or killed. But when we sin, you see actual punishments that are visited by God upon human beings, not just as natural outgrowths, but actual judgments upon us.
Well, Frank, has God punished you?
Excuse me?
Name how God's punished you for one of your sins.
Well, I there's no way I can know that, Pastor, because, you know, some of them were natural outgrowths and some of them were direct visitations by God.
So how can you say what you're saying if you've never experienced that?
Because we see what happened with David. I'm certainly not the type of believer that David was, and yet David caught it. You know, he caught it from God. And there are other instances. If you look into Genesis 3:16, Numbers 12:14, Numbers 20:11, you see all direct punishments by God upon sinners. And
Frank, you're pulling out Old Testament passages.
Well, they had the gospel too.
Well, something happened at the cross where, because of the blood of Jesus, God says He remembers our sins no more. Where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. And so, I mean, God deals with us. He certainly disciplines us. He's constantly teaching us. And all of that is for our benefit, so that we can experience a harvest of righteousness.
I agree with
that. He confirms with us. But see, you say things like, you know, God does punish us for sin, yet you can't point to any one incident in your life, and nobody else can. I think we should just rest in the fact that Jesus has done it all, that His work is finished, and as a result, our sins have been forgiven.
Well,
and recognize when we have actions that miss the mark of God's love, there will be consequences in the lives of others. God's light will shine on that. We'll see it for what it is. And we will go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, guide me, teach me how to trust you in this situation and the steps that I need to take to reconcile or to bring this matter to a close. So I think that's how we have to handle it. So
that's fine. I mean, but remember what Jesus said? He healed one of the individuals in the New Testament, and then later on he ran into that person somewhere, either in the temple or someplace, and he said to him, you see, you have been made well. Go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. So it's not just a matter of a natural consequence of my sinning that comes upon me, but God actually disciplines us. You see, He doesn't discipline us, like it says in Hebrews.
But that's different from punishment, and I just said that. So that's completely different than punishment. The word discipline is about learning. It's about teaching. It's about encouraging. It's about all of those sort of things. Sometimes it doesn't feel so good. Sometimes it may feel like punishment, but it's not, because it has a benefit in mind. Well, Frank, we're out of time on today's broadcast. I appreciate your call and appreciate the conversation too. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Well, friends, the reason we continue to point out that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported is because we continue to need your support. It's what keeps the truth of the New Covenant on the airwaves every day. And as a final reminder, today is the final day that we're making available the excellent Bible study resource, Gateway to Grace, for a gift of any amount. It's an entire Bible conference in one exciting package. 6 CDs and a scripture reference study guide with notes that address many of the phony religious-sounding influences that we're confronted with every day. Gateway to Grace. It's a new covenant journey to faith and freedom. And it's a resource for personal growth or group study. It's yours for the remainder of today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We want to remind you also that at Basic Gospel, we're also into social media. We use it. We hope you do too. And if you do, we hope that you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Bob and Richard, I think going back to the first of what I was saying earlier, I think it's very important that we continue to point out the absolute necessity of our listeners who are benefiting from this program to get behind the ministry and support it financially. And I hope you'll do that. And you can do that by going online to basicgospel.net, our website, basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and make a contribution through our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that toll-free number, good during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Just talk to Billy and let her know that you'd like to support the continuing ministry of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Bob Davis, and the ministry staff. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.